talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're about to go back to the front lines of history in the making as we speak. And I also want to say, Devil Radio has developed an app. You can download it from Google, Apple, our website. Have Devil Radio with you 24/7. Alexa, Devil Radio. Listen to your favorite show anytime you want. Going back to Wisconsin politics, the Senate race. The Senate race. The question is, will Ron Johnson run for re-election? He's been playing coy. He's been sniffing around. It's a reflexive thing in politicians. But he's been raising money, and some insiders are beginning to say, yes, he is running for re-election. A lot of negatives. This is the guy that bought the Russian disinformation hook, line, and sinker, used his committee in Senate to spread it, said that he didn't trust the FBI and the CIA, our own FBI and CIA, even though he was the chairman of the Subcommittee on Homeland Security in the Senate at the time. But you can't beat somebody with nobody. And they're going to pump a lot of money into him. He's also the guy that basically urged people not to get vaccinated. And in general, has been full frontal 24/7 Trump. One of Trump's most slavish adherents. Now, so who do we have to run? Right now, we have three candidates. We actually have four, another one named. And there, I think there are a couple others who have talked about it. They won't file their papers until next spring, but the first one of the major candidates to announce, Tom Nelson, county executive out of Allegheny County, former member of the assembly, our lieutenant governor candidate under Tom Barrett when they ran against Scott Walker. Even though Tom Barrett didn't win, it was close, and certainly not Tom Nelson's fault. He was the vice president. He was the lieutenant governor candidate. Experienced guy and, you know, very decent guy. Then Alex Lazary. Alex Lazary, vice president of the Bucks. He was on the committee that brought the national convention to Milwaukee, which is amazing. The first time in our history. He did an excellent job. He was basically the financial head of it. From the Milwaukee area. He's a very experienced guy, too. Then Sarah Godlewski, state treasurer, won a pretty overwhelming race, significant, in 2018 from Eau Claire. Done a very good job as state senator, very experienced as well. So three candidates. I've not endorsed in that race. I think they're all fine candidates, and I think that any one of them could beat Ron Johnson. There's another woman who's a physician from the Wausau area, and there's several other people who have talked about it, and we'll know more when they actually file their signatures, which will be next year. There's many a slip twixt the cup and the lip, and a lot of people talk about it and they sniff around, but the proof of the pudding's in the eating, and that is when you file your signatures, which will be next spring. Now, what's going to happen in that race? The wild card in the race right now is the Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. He has talked about him in the last segment about the gubernatorial race. Well, he has talked about joining the Senate race. What would that do in the Senate race? Does it matter what it would do? My own hope is that Mandela Barnes does not run for the Senate. He's only been Lieutenant Governor for about 2 years. Very young guy, and I think he has to show more what he can do And I've given this advice to people in the past. If you're elected to statewide office, you should strongly consider running for re-election to your position at least once to show that you have the chops, the support, you can do it. That's true of Sarah Godlewski, also the state treasurer, although she is running for the Senate, and Mandela Barnes might well do so as well. If that happens, there will be divisions within the Democratic Party. Some will support this one, some will support that one. It will also open up the lieutenant governorship, and it'll slightly alter the ticket going into the 2022 elections, which isn't the greatest thing in the world, but it's certainly not fatal. But how does it split out among the party? I don't know how it's going to split out among the party, but I will tell you that the party isn't the be-all, end-all. You know, this primary is an open primary. There are a lot of people that vote in it who, we don't have a thing like registration in Wisconsin, Republican and Democrat. We don't have, well, you can only vote in the Democratic primary if you're an insider, like in Virginia the last time. You had to be a delegate and designate to run, and they only had 50,000 people vote in their primary instead of hundreds of thousands. We don't have that. We have crossovers. If you're a Republican, you can vote in the Democratic primary. Scott Walker can vote in the Democratic primary. Anybody can vote. Nobody knows which primary you voted in or who you voted for. It's private. So what's going to determine this is not so much Democratic insiders, but the sentiment of people around the state. I think that there is hunger for a change. I think that after Trump, then after the insurrection, then after the persistent efforts of Trump and his supporters to claim that the election was stolen and to undermine our democracy, has really affected people. And I think that the vast majority of people want something normal, something stable. They want a reaffirmation of our democracy. So I think this is an excellent year for a Democrat to run for the Senate, 2022. I think Ron Johnson is going to run with headwinds, not only his slavish adherence to Trump, but his own statements. He's not only slavishly adherent to Trump, but he says Trump-like things. And that's not Wisconsin. I mean, Wisconsin's a maverick state. They call us a purple state, state that elected Joe McCarthy and Russ Feingold, not at the same time. But that's, you know, our state is an independent thinking state. And so I do not know what's going to happen, but my suggestion would be that Mandela Barnes stay in the lieutenant governorship, shore up the ticket, campaign for re-election. The other three candidates, I don't see anybody else getting in, although my friend Ron Kind would be an instant front runner, a very, very strong candidate, done a superb job in Congress. Very experienced, very tough, be a great, great senator. But I don't know that he's going to run. And I assume if he does not, then it's going to be this field right now. So what do you do? Go online, Google them, take a look at what they stand for, what they say. Little nuances, they're all going to be very similar on a lot of issues. In the era of COVID and of Zoom, you could have only seen them in Zoom events. That's going to change as we go forward, starting this summer. I'm hoping in the fall there'll be more personal campaigning. And look out for that. Stand by for it. But there's a lot of intrigue in a good way, and there's a lot of unknown. Unknown. Does Mandela Barnes get in? If he does, who then runs for lieutenant governor? This is the very early, in the chirping of early spring, as to what's going to happen in these elections. So stand by. Stand by. Feeding into this are a lot of things the Republicans are doing right now. Very, very difficult to believe. Very difficult to believe. One good thing that has happened, Biden has put in $100 million for rural broadband. How do you have a small business in rural Wisconsin right now without broadband? I don't know if you remember this. Scott Walker turned down $50 million in federal money for broadband when he was governor. He turned it down. He not only turned down $1 billion in train money and $1 billion in Medicaid money, which is the return of our federal tax dollars, he even turned down $50 million for rural broadband paid by the federal government. said it was welfare. I mean, Walker is not the deepest thinker, but for the love of Pete, do you think any Republican governor down south is turning down Navy bases, Army bases, space stations, any money they can get? No. Because federal money, they get more back than they pay in. We never get anything back. I hear Walker, you know, scarecrow, ragamuffin, here's $50 million. Not me, not me. That's welfare. I want to work for it. I want those taxpayers in Wisconsin to pay double for that, to pay it out of tax dollars when they could have gotten it paid by the return of their federal money. That's what he said. That's what he said. And so-called conservatives applauded. Conservatives, economic illiterates applauded. Economic illiterates applauded.
Robin Voss didn't call it welfare when he accepted all that PPP money.
Yeah, that sweet COVID money. He didn't think that was welfare.
Oh, no. That wasn't
six
welfare.
Six figures.
Healthcare for poor people, that's welfare.
Yeah. How about rural broadband?
Yeah.
How about rural broadband?
It's, no. That's welfare. That's
right.
Welfare.
So they can work. So they can start a business. But that sweet COVID money goes to guys like Robin Voss. He snarfed down six figures. He snarfed down six figures of sweet COVID money. Going to a break. Lines are still open. 844-967-2789. Back after the break.
Backbiter, tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.